Welcome to Fantasy Football Weekly, a production of iHeartRadio.
Time now for Fantasy Football Weekly from iHeartRadio, your weekly source for the nation's best fantasy speculation and advice. Now, along with the guys from Fanball.com, here's the host for Fantasy Football Weekly, Paul Charchian.
Welcome to another edition of Fantasy Football Weekly, a Super Bowl edition. Just now, days or hours away. Yeah, Super Bowl edition 2.0.
You and Scott Fish did a great job last week.
Oh, you listened. Thank you.
Yeah, it got me excited. I was on the plane heading home, and I needed a good... Oh, man.
There's Scott right now. He's waving at us.
He heard his name.
I think he did. Yeah.
Hey, he's like, hey, that's
what's
me.
What's happening, Scott? What's that? Oh, this is the Nick Bosa half a sack conversation. You love Nick Bosa half a sack. I know.
I'm going to take Joey Bosa and the under.
Way under. Way under. That's my co-host, Explosive Output, Matt Harrison.
Yeah.
At Explosive Output on Twitter. It was Scott Fish last week. We broke it down the game fantasy style last week. And at that time, I lamented that I really didn't have a great sense of who was going to win.
Mm-hmm.
In the weak sense, I feel pretty good.
And where are you coming in on?
Niners are going to win.
You think the Niners are going to win? So I was just...
I can tell you why if you want.
Well, I go ahead. Tell me why.
I'll tell you why.
Yeah.
Let's just talk broadly about the paths to victory. The Chiefs have got 1.5 viable paths to victory. Patrick Mahomes in their passing game. Clearly one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Their pass defense is good. It's not lights out, but it's good. I'll give them half. That's the 1.5. They're not going to run their way to victory, and their run defense is not going to key them to victory.
Okay.
The Niners, on the other hand, have got 4 paths to victory. They can pass their way to a win with Kittle and Sanders and Samuel all capable of game-changing plays. Jimmy Garoppolo better than people think. 69% completion percentage.
That's nice.
Using percent twice in one sentence. People think he's like this mundane caretaker quarterback. I'll remind people, 4 times this year in the same game, he threw for 297 yards and 3 or 4 touchdowns in a game.
I think
he's not a caretaker quarterback.
I think that those were all against the Cardinals, though.
2 of the 4 were against the Cardinals.
Okay. So,
Dude's a winner. Garoppolo, 24 games with Garoppolo starting since 2017. So this is the 49ers since 2017. Jimmy Garoppolo, 24 games with him, 19 wins. 24 games without him, 4. Dude's a winner. I mean, you look at what the state of the team is anytime he doesn't play. And they can't win.
It doesn't hurt that they have one of the top defenses in the league, and that's probably one of your next paths to victory.
It is a path to victory, isn't it? Here's your pass defense for the 49ers. Number 1 in passing yards allowed this year. And by the way, if you take out that December when they were missing 4 defensive starters, the average game, we mentioned this stat last week with Scott Fish, the average game passing against the 49ers, 161 yards. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
161. Tell people the special guest that's in studio with us.
Oh, my dog, Hattie.
Puppy.
She's a little puppy. She's 4 months old.
So cute.
A Morkie. I'll post a picture on Twitter.
Now, but, for people that don't know, a Morkie is half Yorkie and half Mork from Ork.
Yes. Or Maltese, one of the two.
One of the two.
One of the two.
Okay.
We can't be sure.
Yeah, Robin Williams' legacy is so profound that it may actually be into the breeding.
She does have a little bit of Robin Williams' hair.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it kind of looks like
Williams
that
was hairier than your dog.
I think she'd give him a run. Hattie's in studio. She doesn't make a lot of noise. You might hear a little whine in here or there, but
Normally that's just me.
Yeah.
Niners are number 5 in sacks registered last year and this season. Pro Football Focus ranks them number 3 in pass rush defense and number 1 in pass coverage defense. I mean, yeah, so obviously they can win against the pass, the Niners can. They can win against the run. They were top 8 in rushing yards per game allowed, rushing attempts per game allowed, rushing touchdowns per game allowed. Their 2.4 yards per carry allowed was right in the middle of the pack, so I'll mention that. But I think their run defense, which totally shut down Dalvin Cook and Aaron Jones, it's a good run defense. They can win on the run defense. And then, of course, they could. The Niners can run themselves, run on offense. They can run to victory. They have four paths. I don't even have to explain how they can run their path, run to victory, because they just did it twice in a row in the playoffs against good team, good defenses. So, yeah, that's I think the Niners just have so many more paths to victory. I just feel better about the Niners.
If they play this game 100 times, how many times do you think the Niners win? Obviously, you think it's more than half.
63.
Okay. So I just saw some stats from The Athletic's Shail Kapadia, and I probably mispronounced his name.
I think you destroyed his name. I think his family legacy has been ruined.
$6.8 billion being wagered on Super Bowl 54.
Wow.
That's a lot of money. Wish we had a cut of that.
I'll be part of that.
According to the Borgata in Atlantic City, 75% of the money and 65% of the tickets are being bet on the Chiefs.
Yeah, I know. I like being on the house
with,
side.
With the underdog.
And the over, by the way. Everybody pounding the over.
One of the great stats I saw, the Chiefs' three losses this year, a combined 16 points.
Whew. That's it.
That's it. Yeah. They're pretty close.
So how gutsy do you have to be to take the Niners and giving points? Because you can do that, right?
You can.
You can go Niners. I can go Niners and give three. Yeah, I can go Niners and give seven.
I shot you that the other day. I got it pulled up right here. This is from Westgate. If you give the Niners, if they have 3.5 that they have to beat,
yeah,
plus 165.
That's not enough. It should be more than plus 165.
It's like Vegas has this figured out. Yeah. Minus 7.5, plus 270.
Should still be more.
Minus 10.5, plus 400. Now we're getting there.
Mm-hmm.
And the one, if we're going to make a bet as a as an office for you to take to Vegas this weekend, I think we should go for the 49ers blowout scenario.
Mm.
Minus 14.5 plus 550.
Yeah.
Because if we're all going to throw in, you know, 10, 20 bucks here and put a wager down.
To make it worth our while.
I want you to come back and give me 100, not 40.
I know. What fun is that?
Yeah. So
I like that angle if we're going to do the office bet. Let's do some player props.
Yeah.
I've got 3.5 that I can talk about.
I got three that I like quite a bit.
Go ahead. I'll let you go first.
I'll start with the Sammy Watkins over-under of 48.5 receiving yards. He's had 49 or more yards in four of his last six, and everybody like just knows he had that great week one
and then
did nothing the rest of the regular season, but he had a couple of little pop-ups in the end of end of the year.
Definitely more active in the playoffs.
In the playoffs, he's been good. 76 yards in the divisional round, 114 in the conference championship. And I imagine San Francisco slides their coverage or at least tries to get good players on Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce a lot. There's going to be a lot of double teaming of this
guy. But they're not going to move Richard Sherman.
They're not going to move him.
But at all.
If Sammy Watkins lines up on Akello Witherspoon, it takes one pass.
Well, Witherspoon won't be on the field.
He might not. But
no, they'll use Emmanuel Mosley in his spot.
Man, I mean,
Witherspoon should only be
It could take one pass from Patrick Mahomes for Sammy Watkins to hit the over on this bet.
Well,
so that's why I kind of like the bet.
That's true about really all of the players. It's one pass to Tyreek Hill, one pass to Travis Kelce, and that's why it's so it's so scary to bet anything against him. Because that's all it takes.
Yeah.
He's just, any one play, and Mahomes just lit you up.
I still kind of like the Chiefs to win this game, and it's just because of Patrick
Mahomes.
You're
betting one man.
He's the X factor of the whole thing. He's the best player in the league.
Oh, for sure.
We're not going to talk about him as the top overall pick in fantasy next year, but I think he's going to be my QB1 when we go into fantasy football season next year.
That's very defensible. All right. Anything else on Watkins?
No, that's it. But I want to hear your next prop.
George Kittle over 67. Brian Johnson feels very strong. He's been pounding the table on this, so I decided to dig in on Kittle.
Yep.
We're gonna cash in on a recency bias here. Kittle has failed to top 20 yards in the two playoff games, so I think people are understandably nervous about banking on Kittle now.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing. If I look at Kittle's last 13 games, one game he hit right on 67 yards. Nine games went over the number.
Wait, nine Six. Times?
Nine.
Wait, where is it?
Hold on.
Fantasy football.
Nope, not that one. Nope. You need the cheat sheet.
Where's nine times?
Nine times.
There we go, the last nine button.
Took you nine times to find the button.
It did take me nine times to find the button.
Nine times.
He hit 60, by the way.
Just let it breathe. Just let it breathe.
I'll never get tired of hearing the sad trombone solo from American Pie 2. Kittle went over the Vegas number of 67 nine times in his last 13 games.
Okay.
So you might be thinking to yourself, well, Vegas had to adjust the line because Kansas City's defense was so good against tight ends.
Mm-hmm.
Man, were they bad. Kansas City allowed the second most tight end receptions, the fourth most tight end yards. And here's the funny thing. I'm looking through Tennessee against elite tight ends this year, and I'm trying to find comparables to George Kittle, and there aren't any. They played the softest tight end schedule you can imagine. The two best tight ends they faced all year, Darren Waller and Hunter Henry. That's it.
They're in division.
Yeah, and they're in division.
Yeah.
And by the way, those guys predominantly did well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's I think Kittle's sitting on a really nice game here. By the way, 2 weeks ago, Tennessee's tight ends went over the Vegas number of 67 as well. 2 weeks ago, Kansas City lost their free safety Juan Thornhill in week 17 as well. So I roll all that together. I really like Kittle going over 67 yards.
You know, it's fun to bet the overs on the over-unders. Nobody ever wants to cheer for the unders.
And it is.
That's how Vegas is built, by the way. So we should probably be hitting under bets like left and right on these. But how about Debo Samuel over-under of 17.5 rushing yards in this one?
That's scary to me.
It's scary.
He could get no carries, and I wouldn't be surprised. All right?
He's had a carry in each of the last seven games, at least one carry.
Okay.
And he's averaging 14.2 yards per carry.
So we need him to get to 1 1/3 carries.
Exactly. He's topped 20 yards in five of his last seven. He's had at least two rushing attempts in four of the last six.
Okay.
So they keep moving him around. Kyle Shanahan's offense is predicated on moving guys around, having different points of attack throughout the whole game.
Yeah.
Hattie's chewing on the microphone cord.
Hattie is chewing on your microphone cord right now.
You little twerp.
Now, what would happen if you went home with Hattie's carcass and explained that Hattie electrocuted herself and died in the office on your watch?
I don't think
that's a tough one to explain to the kids.
I don't think I'd go home. I'd just disappear.
Yeah, you might need to at that point. Change your identity. Yeah, because right now Hattie's worth a lot more in that house than you are.
Oh, definitely, for sure. So yeah, I like Debo to top that over on the rushing yards. I think it's kind of a sneaky one, and I think 20 is just something that he can get on one carry.
Mm.
One carry.
It could be.
So I like these player props where it's like only one thing has to happen for me to win this.
Yeah.
It seems pretty easy, and it's things that I think that we can do. So
all right. I've got a couple more. You've got at least one more.
Yeah.
We'll take a quick break, and we'll come back with more of our player prop analysis for the Super Bowl. It's Fantasy Football Weekly. Paul Charchian and Matt Harrison with you. And we're back. If I were to tell you, Matt, that Damian Williams isn't going to be the chief who rushes for the first touchdown, who's the next most likely person? If it's not going to be Damian Williams, we know none of the other running
Patrick
backs even
Mahomes.
Get on the field. That's right.
Yeah.
It's Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
You've cracked the code. You have to pay 5-1 on Damian Williams, or you can get 20-1 on Patrick Mahomes to score the first touchdown of the game.
I heard on a podcast yesterday, Warren Sharp was on there, and he said that Patrick Mahomes on third down scrambles had 100% first downs
this year
on the season.
Wow. All year?
All year.
That's nuts. by the way, where do the rushing touchdowns primarily come from? Up close to the goal line. Total number of carries for Damian Williams from inside the three this year.
You love inside the three. You like getting in the infrared zone there.
I do.
It's not
all year long. Including the playoffs.
It's not high. If you're asking me this question, it's got to be like five or less, I'm guessing.
Three.
Okay.
Three. That's it. They don't give the ball to Damian Williams at the stripe.
Now, Damian Williams did get dinged up for a while this year, and LeSean McCoy was inexplicably in the offense, and they figured it out
there.
They figured it out toward the end of the year, and LeSean McCoy was gone from that offense.
He is, but that doesn't mean that they were giving Williams these rushes at the stripe.
That's
They're not.
True.
So I'm not worried about Damian Williams. Mahomes, fully healthy from the midseason knee injury, and he's scored rushing touchdowns in three of the past seven games.
Is this a first rushing score prop?
First score of the game.
First score of the game. Okay.
First score, and it could go to either team.
Now, I like Damian Williams from the standpoint that he does catch a lot of passes and convert
from
there.
But he won't score from them because the Niners have not given up a running back receiving touchdown all year.
Well, they also haven't faced Patrick Mahomes this season.
The point is that they don't give up the touchdowns to the running backs. Okay. I don't have – Williams to be the first one to score a rushing touchdown or otherwise, it seems unlikely because he would have to be the first running back to catch a reception touchdown.
So you're saying you don't like this prop?
I don't like the Williams prop. I like the Mahomes rushing first player to score.
Okay.
Mahomes is the first player to score. I like that angle a lot. We keep talking about the rushing.
What are the odds on that
count.
One?
20-1.
20-1.
Yeah, I mentioned that earlier, but that's okay. Bonus angle, if you can find it. What do you think about this? Sounds like Tevin Coleman's going to play. Tevin Coleman does not play in games. See if you're testing your fantasy football weekly knowledge here. If you go back to that long streak of games early in the season when Tevin Coleman didn't play.
I know where you're getting at.
Who got the rushing touchdowns?
It's Jeffrey Wilson.
It is Jeffrey Wilson, who's so far off radars. A lot of times you can't even find him to bet, but if you can, I'm seeing him at 25 or 30-1.
That's it? I want more.
You're thinking you should have better odds?
I want like 50-1 on Jeffrey Wilson.
Now, no, then nobody goes for that, unfortunately.
Man.
He's part of the field, which is a bad deal. That's only 8-1. Yeah, we don't like that. Okay, what's your next bet?
I'll stick with the Niners and their wide receivers, actually. Emmanuel Sanders over-under of 2.5 receptions. And this one's counter to what has happened in the playoffs so far because he's only got 2 total receptions in playoff games. Now, how many passes did Garoppolo throw against the Packers? It was like 6 or 8 or something like that.
Yeah.
Didn't throw many more against the Vikings. They didn't have to. They were rushing for 8 or 9 yards a clip, so they didn't have to pull anything out. Now, the fact of this matter is the Chiefs are a better offense, and they're going to make this a better game. It's not going to, it's not going to become
absolutely.
A blowout in San
absolutely.
Francisco's favor early. So I think that they're going to have to go to Emmanuel Sanders. So the Niners played in 5 straight one-score games to finish the season. They obviously had the 2 playoff big victories. But Sanders averaged 4 receptions per game in those 5 straight one-score games. So if you think it's going to be a close game, they're going to throw to Sanders. When it was a shootout against the Saints, which it might be here, that was a 2-point game, Sanders had 9 targets, 7 receptions, 157 yards, and a score. Davis, Humphreys and Brown each had at least 3 receptions against the Chiefs.
Wait, Davis,
Corey Davis, Adam Humphreys.
Okay, all right, sorry. Just transitioning to Tennessee. Yeah. It took me a second.
So Tennessee's 3 wide receivers each had at least 3 receptions against Kansas City in the conference championship.
Yeah.
All 3 of the Houston wide receivers, Will Fuller, DeAndre Hopkins, Kenny Stills, had at least 3 receptions.
Okay. All right.
So we've had 6 wide receivers top 2.5 receptions in the last 2 weeks.
That's great.
Against the Niners. So I think Emmanuel Sanders over under 2.5 feels like a lock.
I'll give you this as more of an intangible, Matt, for why I believe you're right about Emmanuel Sanders. You're Jimmy Garoppolo and you drop back to pass. Oftentimes your first target, the first guy you're going to look to is George Kittle. Fine. But who's next? You look left. Here's Deebo Samuel in the biggest game of his career. Rookie wide receiver, biggest game of his career. Played at South Carolina. It's not like he was in the ACC playing for a national championship.
I mean,
or
such pros as Troy Williamson coming out of South Carolina.
Right. Or you can turn your head to the right, and here's Emmanuel Sanders, 2-time Super Bowl participant, 1-time Super Bowl winner, and in that game, 6 catches, 83 yards.
Yeah.
Who's a guy out of all of the Niners, other than maybe Richard Sherman, especially on offense here, the guy who's going to be most settled the guy that you can count on to for the moment's not going to be too big for him,
mm-hmm.
Emmanuel Sanders.
There we go.
I think Kyle Shanahan's going to target him early because he's going to be the guy that you can count on to not have the nerves, the Super Bowl nerves that a guy like Debo Samuel will have.
If you think Shanahan's got like pages and pages of playbook that he hasn't shown anybody over the last few weeks, all in the passing game, that was Emmanuel Sanders, who just wasn't utilized in those two playoff games.
Right.
I think he's going completely under the radar. I think he's a nice little play.
I do, too. I love the over 2.5. I am seeing it listed at 3 some places.
I'd still take it.
Harder 3, but I'd take the over 2.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Patrick Mahomes has an over-under of 305 yards. It started earlier at closer to like 297, 298, and it's been bumping up, 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 up. We're going to go contrarian here and take the under. Now, emotionally, that's no fun.
No.
God,
it's never fun to cheer against
it
points.
Isn't, and especially Patrick Mahomes. It's no fun. But the data says to take the under. Let's dive in.
Okay.
In the 9 games since returning from his knee injury, Patrick Mahomes has topped the Vegas number of 305 3 times out of
9 times.
3 out of 9. That's it.
Okay.
The other 6 have gone under. Now, when we look at during that span of 9 games, his most recent 9 games, when he's played other good pass defenses, New England, Chicago, and the Chargers twice, these are defenses that are comparable to what the Niners can give you.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick Mahomes' average game, 222 yards. That's it. Now, the Niners were the number one pass defense this season, allowing a league-low 190 passing yards per game. I alluded to this earlier. If you take out the month of December, that drops to 161 passing yards per game and 0.8 passing touchdowns. That's it. So, in December, with everybody's hurt, they're healthy now. You know, if he's going to get, if 161 yards is what the Niners usually gave up, they can give up 95% more yardage, and Mahomes would still not hit his number. Mahomes doesn't necessarily need pass attempts to get his numbers because he's, he can throw the ball so far downfield and everything else. But the Niners allowed the 8th fewest pass attempts, 4th fewest time of possession. So you just work all those things together, and there's a lot of ways Patrick Mahomes doesn't hit 305 yards.
I'm still going to bet the over because it's way more fun.
It's more fun. It's so much more fun. I'm going to be out there with my wife. And really, we're just looking to have fun. We're going to be at a big Super Bowl party.
I mean, if you're looking to have fun, are you going to bet the over-under on the national anthem?
No, that's not fun.
Currently set at 2 minutes.
Okay.
Demi Lovato is singing.
Yeah.
We got some tape on her last couple of national anthems.
Did it sound anything like?
It sounded a little bit better. A little bit better.
A little bit better than that? Okay.
In 2017, she did the McGregor-Mayweather fight.
Okay.
Came in at 212 on the national anthem.
Okay.
However, she's done the World Series 3 times.
Really?
Yeah. 2011, Game 5.
I'm not saying she's not a big star, but
Game 4,
she's done the World Series 3 times?
And 2015, Game 4.
Okay.
148, 151, 158.
Wow.
So hit the under
All right. On
all of those. I'm going to go over.
Why?
The average time of the Super Bowl national anthem in the last, I think I got about 30 years worth of data here.
Mm-hmm.
1 minute 55. But pop stars and
they're all pop stars.
They're not all pop stars. Sometimes they're guys like Billy Joel, who went 90 seconds.
Wow, really?
One of the shortest anthems in a long time. But Lady Gaga went 209. Alicia Keys went 235.
Did she really?
Yeah. Gladys Knight last year went 2 minutes and 27 seconds.
That's a long.
So the people who are hanging on to these notes, it's their big moment. This is the only time she's probably going to ever sing the national anthem at the Super Bowl.
Oh, she did the World Series 3 times.
She's done the World Series. Wow, there's so many games
there
in the
are a
World
lot
Series.
Of games.
So I think she holds on to this moment and she's ready to go. I set my personal over-under on my Super Bowl prop bet game at 2 minutes and 4 seconds because I wanted to even out the odds a little more because I'm so confident that 2 minutes is almost a sucker bet here.
Taking the over.
Taking the over.
Now, there's this. The NFL requires, the you know, as good as it looks,
mm-hmm.
it's all pre-recorded. They take no chances on something as important as this. They are not going to risk having an open mic on some, you know, on some artist who might do who knows what, or mm-hmm. turn it into what Aretha Franklin did in the playoffs a few years ago. Might not be a playoff game.
I think that was a Thanksgiving game.
That was a Thanksgiving game. Yeah. You're exactly right. Thanksgiving game against the Lions. I remember it was a big national stage.
Yeah.
But you're right. It was Thanksgiving, where she turned it into like a 5-minute thing about herself. Right. And she's one of the greatest of all time. Don't get me wrong, but that was ridiculous.
They get pros to do the anthem.
So it's all recorded. So the NFL can just say, you got to do this in 212.
Yeah, I mean, all right. 212. I mean, that's still the over.
It's still the over. Okay. So, so there's National Anthem. You're recommending over on National
I'm
Anthem.
I'm recommending over on
it's
National
even money,
Anthem.
Right? Either
it's
way.
It's even money, either way. How about Gatorade? What color Gatorade
what about
dumped
color?
On the coach?
The color of Gatorade.
The color of Gatorade dumped
now,
on the coach.
It's specifically the color dumped on the coach. Now,
the winning coach, obviously.
How many variations are there, right? Because, you know, Gatorade could come in many colors. They could mix two colors. And now you got like
usually,
ochre
usually
or
they
fuchsia.
They
or,
put like yellow and green together as one color.
Okay.
On the prop bets.
Do I get a Pantone selection?
You do get a Pantone deck. Yes, for sure. Yeah, okay. You can do that. The Patriots love blue, but they're not here anymore.
Yeah.
Nobody else has really had blue since the Patriots. Eagles were yellow the last couple of years. Broncos were orange. So there's video of Andy Reid in week 15.
Okay.
On the sideline drinking yellow/green Gatorade. The lemon lime flavor, I'm sure.
A lemon green. Okay.
So
does it look like Mountain Dew? Is that kind of the color we're looking at?
So if you are looking at the Chiefs winning, you're going yellow green for Andy Reid.
And what does that pay? Because there's got to be a bunch of colors, right?
I don't have the exact odds in front of me on that one, unfortunately. But orange for
what
the Niners.
Orange? Niners are
Niners
orange?
Drink orange Gatorade.
Do they? Why do you know this?
According to some unfounded sources
on the internet. Okay.
That I'm like, can I believe this?
Yes.
But I've seen enough where they're like, yep, the Niners are totally on orange Gatorade. And unless everybody's going to mix up the stuff here, I don't think you want to mess with success in the Super Bowl. You're not changing Gatorade flavors at the Super Bowl.
No.
So I'm on orange and I'm on yellow green.
Yep.
Final answer.
Okay. All right. I like it. That I would never have thought. I like that you've done a little research, or at least you're piggybacking off of other unsubstantiated internet reports.
If you want to go heads and tails in the coin toss, tails is 5 of the last 6 in the Super Bowl.
Really?
Yep.
And
how about this? The last 5 winners of the coin toss lost the Super Bowl.
Hmm. Interesting. Okay. And I wonder if they all deferred.
Well, I'm sure they did.
Maybe.
Chiefs have never won a coin toss in a Super Bowl. They're 0-2.
Wow. Okay.
San Francisco's 4-2 in Super Bowl coin tosses.
Which apparently you want to lose because the winners keep losing.
Well, Kansas City wins the toss by losing. They're going to win the Super Bowl.
You've got a crazy prop bet sheet that people can use for their Super Bowl parties. Everybody gets to fill out a bunch of boxes on a bunch of some of the bets are exotic. Some of them are traditional. And then you can score that and use that as a much more enjoyable thing in your Super Bowl than just doing the 10x10 squares.
Sure. So it's 37 questions, which seems like a lot, but they're pretty quick.
They're all multiple choice.
So a lot of them have to do with, you know, the halftime show, Super Bowl ads, the coin toss, the national anthem, stuff that anybody can get right. And then there are in-game ones as well. I try to pack most of the in-game ones into the first half of play. So by the time the second half happens, you can kind of sit down and relax and settle
enjoy
into
the game. Okay.
And then the last couple of questions are, you know, end game scenarios. So it's a pretty fun little thing. I've been doing it for 10 years.
Yeah.
There's a link to it pinned to my profile on Twitter. So if you go to twitter.com/explosiveoutput.
Twitter.com, you say?
Yes.
Really? Okay. At Explosive Output.
At Explosive Output on Twitter.
You'll find links to Matt's Super Bowl sheet. And I think you charge $5 or something, $6. And then people can just photocopy it and do whatever they want with it.
It's $5.54 through Thursday?
5.54 is a very specific
number. 54 cents for Super Bowl 54.
Oh.
It's going up a buck on Friday, and then another buck on Saturday, and then another buck on Sunday. So order early.
All right. Order now.
Yeah.
Okay. Good job. Hattie, I hope, I think Hattie made, I think we got some whining in the background.
Hattie, do you want to say anything?
Made an appearance. Yeah. Good job, Hattie. Oh, Hattie's absurdly cute. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back after the Super Bowl with more Fantasy Football Weekly. And we'll really start diving into off-season mode. We'll start talking about free agents. We'll be talking about off-season moves. We'll be talking about news from around the league. We'll be starting to look at variations of gameplay. We'll be talking about best ball. We'll be talking rookies. It's just, you know, we got
stories from the combine.
Yeah, I'm going to the combine in a month. We'll be talking about that. It's hard to believe a month from now. We're already in, like, you know, heavy off-season mode at the
combine.
Full-on
draft mode, yeah.
Yeah, it really is. It's that fast.
By the way, of prop bets, where would you set the over-under of number of NFL drafted players that are in the fountain of Bellagio that either jump in or fall in to the fountain
during the draft?
Where would you set it?
I don't think anybody's going to fall into the fountain.
I think a couple are going to jump in, though.
Just out of excitement Cannonball. And exuberance and stuff. Yeah, that could be fun.
1.5.
That'd be fun. You know, a drowning would really be something most people would not see coming at the NFL draft. He was a promising prospect, but drowned in the
Bellagio fountains on draft day.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you in a week.
Fantasy Football Weekly is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.